Well, it is and it isn't. I think that there's certain aspects of performance that are, in measuring performance, that are tried and true. When it pertains to cost and process, and, you know, our organization, CAMI, has long been leader in developing best practices in cost management, such as activity-based costing and process management. The issue around performance in the government context is that it's much more complex. We're looking at outcomes of programs that potentially take years and years to measure, and the actual measurement can be debated in terms of what the right measure might be. So, but I, you know, in our perspective, you know, there are certain simple things that government can do to get a handle on performance today. Mm. And that is looking at the cost of operations from the point of view of what products and services the government delivers to citizens, and being able to deliver it at a fixed cost at a set level of quality and performance. And to be, and our concept of target costing really enables government to be able to reverse engineer to be able to deliver at that cost.
And it seems like, and I'm actually going to ask Robert this, because you've had to deal with this before, so often you don't, in government, you don't have that kind of real data. It's, you don't know your full cost.
You don't know a lot. I mean, it's easier to measure your activities and therefore the cost of your activities, but it's hard for a lot of reasons to connect that to what results you're achieving.
Yeah.
People are afraid that, at least in the government context, what you're trying to achieve is so hard that you don't want to be held accountable for achieving what's so hard to achieve, and you want to simply count the activities you're doing. But government has struggled to connect the two so that you can say whether or not what I'm doing is having the intended impact.
So this concept of target costing, very simple, because we have a lot of non-CFOs and non-people who are maybe even writers who hear numbers and we just start breaking out into spots. But this is, it's a pretty critical piece of follow the money, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the way KMI looks at target costing is the whole supply chain. Mm. And if you are a company out there or an organization, you are looking at market-driven target pricing, that what is market willing to pay. Now, if you are running projects, quoting Rockwell, which is a KMI member, they say most of the operational costs and support costs is not identified earlier on within the projects. So what happens, you spend about 60 to 70% upfront, and there is only about 30% left to do anything out there.
60% upfront on the what?
On the design phase. On, if you are looking at the contract, that's in the initiation phase, doing the contracting phase. Before you go in the execution of the contracts, you got only 30% left.
But this, so often I hear from the enterprise architects and the procurement people, and they say, we don't spend nearly enough time and energy and effort on laying out the good procurement process, and that's what causes the failure of these systems. And then I'm hearing saying, hold on, we're not spending enough time. We're spending so much time on that that we don't actually have enough money left to actually implement the system.
Well, actually, I think it's the former, and really in terms of the commercial experience, what brought about target costing is the fact that so much time and effort is spent on the back end execution of a poor design that it would drive costs to the point where the products would not be profitable or achieve their desired profit number. So companies such as Boeing and now recently Whirlpool and other big companies who are members of CAMI got together under the umbrella of CAMI and basically developed something called target costing, which basically says, what is the market willing to pay for our product? And backing off from that some amount of profit, because it's a for-profit business.
I'm fascinated by this, because this almost seems like cart before the horse, but it's, I guess, a pretty smart way of figuring this out. This is how much people are going to pay in government case. This is how much money we have to spend on this project. And then working backwards and figuring out, okay, well, how much are we going to spend on each part of this?
Exactly, which requires, in the commercial sector, engagement of all the of the supply chain, the suppliers and whatnot in terms of services and commodities used to deliver the product, which necessarily then means the design phase is very complex to be able to figure out a game plan that they can execute at cost, at the target cost, to be able to achieve the target price and the target profit. It's not nearly that complex for government in the sense that there is no profit aspect.
Right.
And in terms of, you know, there may be a somewhat of a supply chain, it's probably more engaging the stakeholders along the way to be able to reverse engineer processes to deliver government services.
Have you found folks in government use this? Have you seen this used before effectively?
I think the time is ripe for government. What government has done is agencies have played with things like activity-based costing,
right,
and managerial accounting, and from time to time those become more in vogue and then in other times. But usually it's done for the sake of doing it or for compliance. It's not necessarily done for the sake of improving government operations. And at a time like this where we have such tight budgets, it just seems so obvious to be able to target a level of cost performance and be able to reverse engineer to make that versus what we see now are hiring freezes, travel freezes, training freezes, which are really not responsive.
And we tend to use this a sledgehammer just to we don't use the scalpel. We use just the machete and chop right through.
Some kind of across-the-board machete as opposed to a surgical scalpel.
Yeah.
That's right.
And are there ways, and we'll have a link, because you guys have this great, I mean, it's long here, and in all sorts of great detail about how to actually do this. Are there lessons that you have learned either from the private sector of folks who have done this?
Right, I'll give you two examples. U.S. Air Force is part of the target costing group. 25% of their suppliers are asked to provide all kinds of costs, so it could be part of the whole value chain in doing the executing the projects. There are companies who have adopted this, and we got examples of companies which have gone back to their suppliers, asked them to follow the target costing principles, and redo their purchase orders. And we got numbers without quoting the company names where they've saved as much as $20 million worldwide within six months.
Robert, as somebody who has had to be there and do this kind of stuff, is this a concept that you think would work in government?
You know, Srikant and I were talking about this as a methodology or a way to use performance-based contracting.
Mm.
So what you and I have talked about in the past, yep, is cost overruns, schedule overruns, negotiating with all the people who are contributing to a project, program, what have you, agreeing, committing to perform this piece of that at this price by this schedule, and setting performance incentives as well as some punitive measures if they do or don't meet those requirements.
And as I was reading through the thing last night, it seemed like something that might actually work really well in government, because right now, as you said, we end up spending 60% on the front end.
Right.
That often is, okay, we haven't got it right. If that was almost boundaried a little bit, if we had some kind of containment, this is how much you have to spend on this. Go and do it in an effective way. We don't have endless amount of time, money, energy, effort, people. This is what we have to spend on this. Might actually cause some kinds of realization of, okay, can we do this effectively or not?
That's even right. It's a way to sort of force discipline in an area where it doesn't really exist. You know, we always think somebody's going to bail us out,
right,
from a schedule or budgeting perspective. And this says we've got a bottom line we got to meet. And everybody on the team is going to have to commit to doing that before we even get off square one.
I think we are also seeing the trend within KMI that at one time the whole target costing group encompassed only the private organization. Today we have U.S. Marine Corps in there, U.S. Coast Guard, U.S. Air Force, U.S. Patent and Trademark, Royal Australian Navy. So there is much more focus coming to these governmental agencies who are enhancing this whole idea of target costing.
And what they're really learning in this process is it's not simply a matter of understanding cost or understanding performance. There's something that connects these things called process and looking across an organization in the delivery of a service. So in target costing, it's not simply the matter of the finance function or the operations group,
right,
in delivering, designing and delivering a product. It's every department in the organization. So in a government program, how much finance is required to deliver that program? How much IT is required? These are all on the table, or should be on the table, in determining overall program cost targets.
Is there some folks interested, if people who may be hearing this and they're starting a program, are there, aside from going and downloading the report and reading that, what are good first steps to put at least this methodology in place?
Well, I think that clearly you know, training is available widely, even through KMI and other organizations,
right,
in terms of just basic cost and performance management. I think the a dedication to some kind of a disciplined approach to looking at performance and cost across the organization. Sounds simple, but what we find the biggest issue is change.
Yeah,
you know, one person's great idea is runs counter to another part of the organization's attempt at an improvement, and you have the battle of the methodologies. So I think the simple thing to do is for an organization to understand that, you know, define their problem. The problem is they want to be able to shrink their budget yet retain performance.
Yeah.
And to do that in a concerted manner.
Talk a little bit about the organization, what it is, who it is, and where people can get more information about it.
KMI was formed in 1972 with a partnership between DOD and
70s
industry.
Dude.
Yes.
Yeah. Disco.
It was wild hairstyle.
Disco, right. Yeah, right.
Our mission was
We all had more hair then.
I did. The mission was really to form a collaborative organization of thought leaders and develop practical methodologies that companies can adopt today. So everything we do today can be adopted and used within companies. Our significant members, as I mentioned some of them earlier, are people like U.S. Air Force, Coast Guard, Marine Corps, Patent and Trademark, SAP, Royal Australian Navy, SAS, Whirlpool, Boeing, and others.
And you and I stepped over you, but you said this was started back in the 70s along with DOD.
Along with DOD.
So this is this has its genetics are built in government.
Absolutely right.
If folks want more information, where can they get more info?
There are two ways. One is www.cam-i.org. Or they could always call me. My name is Ashok Badgama. They can always call me on 512.
Oh, we won't give your phone number out
All
over
right.
there.
All right.
I love you way too much to do that.
But we do.
You know, if they want to call the station, we'll make sure you get. And it's common spelling of your name, right?
Right.
Yeah. So they'll be able to find it easy.
Find it easy. But we would also welcome anyone to come to one of our meetings. Srikant talked earlier how you can get more information. We got books on target costing. We got training on target costing. And they can also come to our meeting in one of our quarterly meetings.
And is the membership mostly made up of, no offense to the people who are sort of CPA-ish in the room, but is it mostly, are you not CPA-ish? They both shot
We're
me looks.
We're both lawyers.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Or even worse, lawyers. But the membership mostly made up of people. I mean, I often hear in a performance-based costing, and people always talking about, and there are people like us who just, like me, who just want to go out and do cool things, and we want to try and get that done, and this feels kind of heavy. Does that make sense?
Because of the diversity of projects we do, because we also do target costing, healthcare. We have launched a healthcare program, environmental risk management, lean enterprise working with the government agencies. The people who come to KMI is a mixture of industrial engineers, directors for quality, accountants, great. CFOs, CMOs. So it's quite a mixture of people. We get about 70 to 80 people, but it's quite a variety of people rather than accountants.
Wow.
And if you think about target costing and how we've described it, you would need to have the engineers and the design people and the IT folks along with the finance folks working together to be able to design a workable
process. But so often it seems like that gets left out, that it ends up being something that ends up in the CFO's office or in the performance office or something like that, and it doesn't always make its way down to the program level, which is, are the people who really have to carry this out?
And that's really the key nexus to create in an organization to be able to drive change, is to be able to bring those parties together on a common playbook or common agenda to be able to enable change.
I think one of the things that target costing also brings is the whole value of data. If you look at that article, we talked about operational data. Taking my Motorola example, when I used to work for Motorola, 25% of IT cost is because the data is not there. 8% of operating cost, operating revenue, which impacts directly your operating cost, is because of bad data. The whole target costing notion looks at the whole supply chain, including, like Srikant said, all the processes, end-to-end processes, not just the company process, all the way from supplier to the customer, plus all the data set and the processes required to execute that deliverable.
And you said you're working on a new paper, which will be out soon, focusing on?
On performance management. So we've talked about performance management in a government context. This is more of a cross-industry or industry-neutral look at a performance management maturity lifecycle or maturity model, whereby we identify the various processes any organization would engage in running their operations, whether it's supply chain management, personnel management, cost, finance, and look at what we've done is established levels of performance and what is required in terms of data, information, techniques, management techniques to be able to move along the continuum. Companies would be able to, and organizations would be able to take this maturity model and do a diagnostic in their own organizations to determine where they stand and what it might take in terms of investment to move along the continuum.
Mm-hmm. Final thoughts, Robert?
Well, I mean, I've been involved with the performance management maturity model development, and the struggle there, of course, is getting something that's translatable both in the private and public sector.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty cool project. All of the things KMI does is done in collaboration with private and public sector organizations. It's as unique a thing as I've seen, people sitting down for hours and hours trying to come up with practical solutions to real-world problems and then helping people implement.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just a note on two other pretty cool projects going on right now in terms of practical solutions to real-world problems. Ashok mentioned healthcare and environmental sustainability.
Yeah.
These are two areas that we've launched research groups in as well. Not from the point of view of adding to the lexicon in healthcare, we have enough of that out there in the debate, or in sustainability from an engineering perspective, there's plenty of that as well. But from the perspective of business management, what are the right business techniques to apply to the healthcare debate in terms of process management? And looking at meaningful use, for example. And on the sustainability side, how do you determine carbon footprint? What are the standards that should be put in place around the management and engagement of customers?
Yeah.
For example, you know, how should the customer believe company A versus company B in terms of sustainability claims when there's really no set of standards out there in terms of how companies engage in that process? So we're taking the body of knowledge from KMI, cost, process, and performance techniques, taxonomies, and methods that are already in place and proven, and applying them into these areas.
Hmm.
On healthcare, we are also
making sustainability something that you can really measure. Right now, it's so squishy. It's everyone says, "Oh, I have zero carbon footprint." Well, how do you measure that? You know, that means you never fly, I think.
On healthcare. Adding to what Srikanth said, we are also marching towards the legislation, which is meaningful use, coming out in 2015. Now, if you look at meaningful use, it says all your processes, all your cost, all your performance should be lined up. KMI has done that work, including change readiness and change adaptation. So we are taking all those things combined to ensure that the healthcare companies and the hospitals follow the meaningful use, which will be mandatory in 2015.
Yeah.